This is God's word. Come on, say it like you mean it. This is God's word. Not Pastor Eben's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Good morning, Without Limits. What an honor to be here again with you. Some of you may not know who I am. I am Pastor James's best friend. Yes. We've been friends for over 15 years now, and I'm telling you, he is a great man of God. Yes, he is. And you don't know what type of friend you have until you have to go through something difficult. And so through some of that difficulty, I would call Pastor James, and all he would get to say is hello. And I did the rest of the talking. And what is a great man without a great woman? Can we give Pastor LeConte, Lady LeConte, my best friends, best half, a hand clap? And you know, I'm so excited because my wife is traveling with me, and thank God, you know, she's put her career, she's on a sabbatical. And what she's decided, you know what, I'm gonna help my husband. And so I'm thankful that she's able to travel with me. Her name is Cherise. Baby, can you just stand up so that everybody can see how beautiful you are? Amen. If you let God, he'll upgrade you. No shade on nobody. Glory be to God. Y'all ready for me this today? Amen. Cherise is one of the sweetest ladies around. She says, babe, you are the best man I know on the earth. And she says, Pastor James is the second best man. So I'm grateful that she's traveling. And I'm excited to impart something to you all's life today that I believe will bring an upgrade. How many like upgrades? Man, if you sitting in coach and you by the bathroom, and the stewardess comes to you and say, would you like an upgrade to first class? How many would do that? Man, I like upgrades. I'm sure you do too. So I believe the message today is going to upgrade your life. Say amen to that. Amen. So if you're a note taker, the message title today is God, Let It Rain. Everybody say God, let it rain. And the message today is the first one in the series that Pastor James is going to be doing called More Than Enough. And I'm excited about the series, and it's going to be a powerful series. So I'm kicking this off, and the whole series is focused on giving and financial stewardship. And honestly, money can be a very sensitive subject when it comes to church people. In fact, one of the reasons the devil gives Christians such a hard time when it comes to money is because he really doesn't want us as believers to get a revelation of what giving and receiving and good stewardship can do for us. Right. Amen. There's a lie that the devil has told a whole lot of people. I'm going to see if he told you that lie too. All the church want is your money. Oh, y'all heard that lie too? Yeah. And so most people don't realize that how we manage our money, how we manage little, watch this, is a requirement of how we can get more from God. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, they're going to put that on the screen. It says, Jesus said, his Lord said to him, well done, thou good and what type of servant? Faithful servant. Watch what he says. He said, you've been faithful over what? Little things or a few things. And then watch what he said. Because of that, he says, I'm going to make you ruler over what? Yeah. Over many things. And then he says, enter into the joy of the Lord. So how you and I handle what we have now determines how much we qualify for later. Did you know that stewardship first started in the first book of the Bible? Most people don't know that. So we're going to jump into the lesson today. I have 3 points that I want to give you, maybe 4 if you're a good class. And so first point, if you're taking notes, is stewardship started with God. Everybody say stewardship, started with God. In Genesis chapter 2, and I'm reading this verse out of the New King James Version. It says, "This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens." Watch verse 5. It says, "Before," everybody say before. "Before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before," everybody say before. "And before any herb of the field had grown," watch what it says, "for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth." Everybody say, "God, let it rain." God, let it rain. It says, "For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth." And then it says, "Because there was no man to till the ground, but a mist came up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into him the breath of life, and that man became a living soul." Watch verse 8. "The Lord God then planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." But I want you to notice something. Notice that God had not let it rain, because had it rained, there would not have been anybody to till or take care of the plants as they grew. Everybody say stewardship, started with God. So listen, what God did, he allowed a mist to come up from the ground to water what was there. Watch this. So the mist kept things alive, but the rain is what made it grow. I'm going to say that again. The mist is what made things stay alive, but it was, watch this now, it was the rain that made it grow. So here's a take-home statement. Everybody say take-home statement. Here's a take-home statement that I want you to take home with you. Proper stewardship will make it rain, but lack of stewardship will only keep it sustained. I'm going to rewind that one because I don't know if you got it. Here we go. Proper stewardship. Everybody say proper stewardship. Proper stewardship or management will make it rain, but lack of stewardship will only keep it sustained. And this is why you can give tithe and you can give offering, but if you're not managing what you have left over, God is looking at it as waste. In other words, a mist being there kept things alive, but once God put a man in place, I want you to notice this, once he put a man in place to steward what he had planted, then rain was able to come. And so what's my point? My point is good management or good stewardship is very important to God. And it's his measurement or his measurement tool to determine if we qualify for more. Most people want more, but guess what? The qualifications for more is what you do with little. And so as believers, we can't say that we're good stewards until we learn how to properly honor God and how we give. In other words, good stewardship, most people think that good stewardship ends after they give to God. But good stewardship starts with giving to God. And so the goal of the message is to give you some revelation and hopefully deepen your understanding of how powerful it is to give with God's way in mind. So, as a believer, I've been a believer for 30-something years. Give me a hand clap for that. Yes. And so one of the things that I've learned as a believer and very early in my walk with Christ is that I learned how to honor God with how I gave. And one of the things that I learned is I watched my dad growing up. I watched him give. What he would do, we were Presbyterians, Presbyterian church, they gave you your own personalized offering and tithe envelopes. And so my dad would get paid in the middle of the week. He would write his check out. He would fill out his offering envelope, and he would place it on his desk until Sunday came. And what that taught me was really my dad was being an example of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. It says, on the first day of the week, everybody say the first day. On the first day of the week, watch what he says we should do. Paul says, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. He says, don't wait until I get there and try to collect it all at once. In other words, Paul was saying, this is really premeditated giving. That's what my dad was doing. He was premeditated in his giving. In other words, we can compare premeditated giving or that verse to reoccurring giving in these apps today. And reoccurring giving, watch this, is premeditated giving. And back in my dad's day, they didn't have like apps like we have. They didn't have the technology to be able to give online. But today, technology allows us to do that. I have my giving already scheduled, right? And what people don't understand is when you do it like that, we're not only able to be consistent in our giving, watch this, but it shows God that we're thinking about Him ahead of time. That's good right there. And I believe that God's way in terms of how we give is simple, but I also believe that most people complicate giving or they misunderstand it altogether. And so as I've grown as a believer in Christ, and now I'm a pastor, I've been pastor now for 18, 19 years, God's really given me an incredible revelation when it comes to giving and receiving. And it's through this revelation that I'm hoping this morning you'll grab an understanding, because I believe the average Christian, everybody say the average Christian. Average. Now look at your neighbor and say, I ain't average though. Average. Now look at your other neighbor and say, are you sure about that? I believe the average Christian is not financially blessed the way God's word promises because they don't have a revelation of what giving does. And so let's look now where giving first started in the Bible. We saw that stewardship first started in the book of Genesis. Well, guess what? Giving also started in the Bible in the book of Genesis. So ask me what I've discovered. You know, I've discovered that most people are negative when it comes to financial matters and giving to God. Most people. And the major reason is the enemy don't want us to get it. But also, I've discovered something else. Ask me what else I've discovered. I've also discovered that negative thinking and negative giving also started with the first family in the Bible. So let's go to Genesis because I really want to look at this, because most people think that tithing and giving, they think it started with the law. They think it started with Abraham. They think it started way back then, but really, or even part of the Ten Commandments, but no. The first of giving started in the book of Genesis. And let me just add this, just because famous people or well-known people decided to stop believing in tithing, that doesn't make tithing wrong. They didn't write the Bible, right? Being famous doesn't make them right. Amen. God's standard on giving started in Genesis. So let's now go to point number two. Here's point number two if you're taking notes. It's a long point, and that is tithing and, everybody say and. See, that word and is going to be important as we keep going. Tithing and giving offering was always God's plan to prosper man and honor him. So let's go to Genesis chapter 4. I believe I'm going to show you something today that you've never seen. It says in verse 1 of Genesis 4, I'm reading out of the King James Version. It says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Watch verse 2. And she again bare his brother Abel. And watch this now, because it's going to give their occupations. It says that Abel was a keeper of the what? He was a keeper of the sheep. He was a herdsman. But then it says, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. He was a farmer. Watch verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought. Everybody say Cain brought. Cain brought. Let's see what he brought. He brought of the fruit of the ground. Why? Because he was a farmer. He brought of the fruit of the ground. Everybody say an offering. He brought an offering, and watch who he brought it to. Who did he bring it to? The Lord. So when you and I give, even though the church may be the recipient of what we give, in reality, we're giving it unto the Lord. And Cain had enough sense to know that he was giving this to the Lord. And so the Bible says he gave an offering to the Lord. But let's see what Abel did in verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the what? Firstlings. When you look that word firstlings up, it means the first one or the firstborn. So Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock. What's the next word, church? Everybody say and. And the fat thereof. So I want you to catch something. God had to have given some instructions on giving to him, or they both would not have known to do it. They didn't just show up on the same day to give to the Lord. No, he gave both of them some instructions. Say amen to that. And so the Lord, the Bible says, had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But watch this. But unto Cain and to his offering, he did not have respect. So we can see that what Abel brought to God, God had respect for what Abel brought. But the offering that Cain brought was not acceptable. And let's see Cain's response. It says, Cain was angry. His countenance fell. Look in verse 6. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? 2023. Why you got an attitude, Cain? And watch what God says to Cain. He says, Cain, if you were to do well, then you wouldn't you not be accepted? He says, but if you don't do well, sin lies at your door. I want you to notice that the way or what Cain gave, because it must not have been prescribed the way God had instructed, God said not only was it wrong, he called it sin. Obviously, whatever God told them to do, I want you to hear me, church. Abel did it, Cain didn't do it. So God told Cain, hey, if you'd have done what's right, or let me say it like this, had you given what was right, Cain, what you gave would have been accepted. And so this says two things to me. Number one, God has a standard by which he wants us to give, and anything short of that standard is not acceptable. Here's the second thing I noticed, is that God does not accept any old thing we decide to give him. And most Christians are not giving the way God prescribes, and we're wondering why our financial lives are not blessed. And that's what happened to Cain. He brought his offering to God, and God said, Cain, I can't accept this. Now, here's the thing. The church will, though. We'll take it. But see, I don't just want my church to receive my money. I want God to receive my money. And so today I'm going to show you that God's way of giving is really the right way to give, because the enemy doesn't want you to know this. And while I'm talking to some of y'all, the enemy is going to try to tune you out. Amen. And this is why the devil has Christians arguing over stuff like, is tithing good for today or not? Well, is thou shalt not steal still good? Is thou shalt not kill still good? Go kill somebody and we'll be visiting you in jail. People say stuff like, well, I'm not going to give 10%. I'm going to just give God 5%. Okay, Cain. Look at your neighbor and say, I didn't know you was related to Cain. Man, you know what's interesting here is that we okay with other standards that God's got in place. Amen. I don't hear people arguing over the standard for salvation. The scripture says, thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe where? In your heart, that's God raising from the dead. And what happens? I don't hear nobody arguing over that. I don't want to confess with my mouth. Well, go to jail. Go to hell. Go to hell. No, I don't hear people arguing over that. So let's look at verse 4 real quick. Let's examine verse 4 and verse 5. It said in verse 4 that God had respect for what Abel gave. But then in verse 5 it said he didn't have respect for Cain. So I want you to look at this, because these two verses imply several things you may not have ever thought about. Here's the first thing. If they both were bringing something to give before God, they had to have been asked or instructed by God to do so. Can you say amen to that? Here's the second thing it implies. If God had respect for one of their offerings and not respect for the other one, listen, there had to have been a known standard by which God was measuring their giving by that he deemed acceptable or not. Can you say amen to that? Because listen, it would be unfair to God to expect anything from them that he had not communicated with them. In other words, it's wrong for us to expect things from our children that we had not communicated to our children. And so it would have been unfair of God to expect something from them that he had not communicated with them. Can you say amen to that? Here's the third thing. It would also be unfair of God to ask them to do something that they were incapable of doing. And then let me add this. It would definitely be unfair of God to ask them to do something that would hurt them or that was bad for them. And so here's the important principle. If God had a standard for Cain and Abel back in the day, the first book in the Bible, if he had a standard by way he wanted them to give to him, there has to be a standard for us today. So here's the question that I want to ask. What was it about Abel's offering that made his acceptable over Cain's? Because see, I don't want to have a Cain life. I want to have an Abel life. So look at verse 3. It says, in the process of time, it came to pass, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering. And then it says, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings, the firstborn, the first one of his flock. And here's what's really different. And some fat thereof. Look at your neighbor and say, God wants some fat from you. Now look at your other neighbor and say, I'm happy to give it to him. I'm happy to give it to him. So let me illustrate what Abel did and what Cain did. I got some money here. How many like money? Yeah. How many would like some of this money? Now I didn't say I was gonna give you some. I just asked. So watch this. When Cain got paid, Cain just gave anything. He said he just gave an offering. But that's not what Abel did. We want to do what Abel did because what Abel did was acceptable to God. So let's say that Abel's paycheck was $100. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. Let's say Abel got paid and it was $100. Well, what's a tithe of $100? Okay, $10, all right? So question, which one of these $10 is the first one? Which one? Is it the first one to the left, the first one to the right? Which one? It's the first one I decide to spend. If you give the electric company the first one, you didn't give God the first. You can give God a tenth and not give it first. And so Abel was like, oh, no, 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 no. I'm going to give God my first tenth first. But that's not all what Abel did. The Bible said Abel gave of his first and some fat. So let's say, you know, he was like, you know what? God, I ain't going to give a double tithe. So let me give $3 as some fat. And I'm going to show you later that fat is an offering. Right? And so that's what he did. And that's what most people don't do. When Abel showed up, the first thing that Abel did is that he gave the first one of his flock. And he gave some fat. And here's what I love about it. He didn't wait to see if he was going to have some more sheep before he gave his first sheep. Because, see, giving it first is showing faith that, God, I don't know if I'm going to be able to have some more sheep, but I'm going to trust you to take care of me. And most people, they're waiting to see if they're going to have enough before they do the right thing. And see, here's the problem. Most of the time, even if a person gives the tenth, the problem is if you're not giving it first, listen, church, you never give your first to somebody who doesn't have the power to bless you. Your electric company ain't got the power to bless you. Oh, they can keep your lights on, but they can't bless you. Your car note people, listen, they can't bless you, but they can keep your car from being repo. You say, well, that's a blessing. I don't know about that. Listen to Romans chapter 11, verse 16. It says, for if the first fruit be what, church? If the first part, if the first one that I give, if it's holy, watch what happens. Then the whole lump becomes holy. And that's why the rest of my stuff can last for so long. Why? Because I gave the first to God. So when we give of the first, it should always be to God, because he has the power to bless the rest of what we keep. So not only did Abel give to God first, but he also brought some fat, which means, listen now, not only did Abel give of the first, but he brought some extra. He brought an offering. And that's what most people don't do. They may tithe, but they normally don't give any extra. And so the difference between what Cain did and what Abel did is that Abel brought that first tenth, and then he brought an offering. So let me tell you why that's important, because Leviticus 27:30, they're going to put it on the screen. Leviticus 27:30 says this, and all, everybody say all. And all of the tithe that comes from the land, whether it's the seed of the land or from the fruit of the tree, whose is it? Whose is it? How much did it say was the Lord's? Oh, so when you get your paycheck and you're giving a tenth, if it's not coming from the gross, it's not all. See, that's why I see some of y'all just have a net blessing, and that's why you're net breaking. Don't honor the Uncle Sam over God. No, it says all the tithe. It belongs to the Lord, and then this part says, and it is holy. Yes. So let me see here. Let me get a young person. Yeah, come here. Right here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. With this champion sweatshirt on right here. All right. Now, while he's coming, here's $100. Whose $100 is this? Whose is it? Come on, I need y'all to say, whose money is this? This is mine. I just need him to know that. This is my money. Okay? What's your name, buddy? Makai. Who? Makai? Okay, so I'm going to ask you to hold on to my $100. Okay? Now, I'm not giving it to you, Makai. I'm not. But I want you to hold on to it. And then, you know, why don't you go sit on there in that front seat right there on the end? Because yeah. I need to keep my eye on you. Now, let me ask the question again. Whose money is that?
Yours.
It's my money. Now, I'm going to ask him to return my money. Thank you. I appreciate that. Stay right there. Now, let me ask you a question. Did he bless me with $100?
No.
No. Let me ask you another question. Did he give me $100? No. What did he do? He returned to me my $100. And when you and I tithe, we're not giving. We're just returning to God what belongs to him. So I'm going to give you my $100 for you being a good person. There you go. You're welcome. You're welcome. And maybe pay your tithe and give some fat off of that. Check his pockets on the way out. So when I return to God his portion, listen, church, it means I haven't given yet. Until I give God some of my money or some of my fat. And that's what Abel did. He brought God some of his fat. That word fat means richest choice part. It means the best. It means the finest. It also means grease. See, when I was growing up, you cook some bacon, we didn't throw the grease away. We used to have one of those Crisco cans, and we saved that grease for later. Abel brought some grease. The fat represents an offering, which can be any amount based on what God's word says. He didn't tell us how much the offering had to be. He just says he wanted some fat, and fat represents what you want to give. And see, here's the problem. Most people don't realize not giving offering means they're not giving God's way. I'm going to show you that in just a second. But in Genesis 3, when he said to bring the, Abel brought the first firstlings of his flock and some fat. Here's a question. Because some people be like, I think it's the same thing. Well, let me ask you a question. Is the word and a conjunction? When I was growing up, they used to have this cartoon, conjunction, junction. Oh, y'all over 62, huh? Oh, Fred, you got a whole 60-year-olds up in this joint. And is a conjunction. Remember, it said that Abel brought the firstlings of his flock and some fat. So here's my question. What do conjunctions do? They connect words and thoughts. Here's some examples. Peanut butter and jelly, right? Bologna and cheese, right? This was controversial. Chicken and, see? Some of y'all, chicken and waffles. If you live on the urban side, it's chicken and hot sauce, either way. Right? It brings, listen, church, the word and brings two separate things together. So when Abel brought the whole first animal, because that's what he had to bring, the fat had to be separate because that's why they use the word and. So watch this. I'm gonna back this up with Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Because most people say, I still don't believe it. Good. Follow me. Malachi 3, 8, he says, will a man rob God? The answer to that question is yes, because some of y'all are sticking God up every Sunday. Will a man rob God? He says, yet you have robbed me. But you say, how have we robbed you? Read it with me, church. In tithe. In what? In tithe. Come on, say it. In tithe and offering. So listen, church. When we don't give offering, we're robbing God too. And here's the bad thing. Churches, not this one, but churches are so sensitive to people's feelings that if they could just get people to tithe, they'd be like, oh, if we could just get people to tithe. No, no, no. Because if they're not doing what the word says, listen, then the benefits of doing it will not come to pass. Amen. Offerings are very important because they are part of the prerequisite of God's blessing for our life. Everybody say years ago. Years ago, I remember I was like a $100 offering man. That was it. I don't care what kind of, I don't care if it could be the past Sunday, it could be giving Sunday, it could be building. I'm not going past $100. And so I was at church one Sunday, and there was an evangelist preaching, lady evangelist. I mean, she preached, she did good too. And she got done preaching. And so, you know, I guess our pastor, you know, let her take up the offering. So she started taking up the offering. She was like, you know, I believe God wants some people in this room to give $1,000. I was like, that ain't me. You know, I'm looking down my road to see who's going to do it because I ain't going to do it. Because I was 7 days away from buying my first house. And it was already tight. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. It was tight. I said, no, I'm not doing it. So then she came down to $500. She said, I believe God wants some people in here to give $500. I said, she ain't talking to me either. Long story short, I'm sitting there, and she starts coming down off the stage, Pastor James. And she starts walking toward me. Out of all the people in the room like this, she starts coming towards me. And I'm like, well, you know, and then it shifted in slow motion, you know, because when something's happening to you, you don't think it's real. It's like, and so it was like, I was like, oh, my God. This lady's coming toward me. The devil is a lie. He's a lie. Long story short, when she got right up in front of my face, it hit me real time. She said, man of God, if you'll give that money, God will bless you. And I'm thinking, how you know I got that money? And I was thinking, this is not the Lord. I need to buy a house. Well, the Lord said, Evan, give the money. So I gave the money, and she said, you know, whatever you want to believe God for, put it on the envelope and trust God. So I wrote on everything. I started running out of stuff. I started writing other stuff for other people. Long story, fast forward. The next day, I'm in the same meeting. It was a two-day revival type thing. I'm sitting there, and my beeper goes off. How many know what a beeper is? You don't want to raise your hand this time, huh? Anyway, my beeper went off, right? It was the mortgage company. Mr. Connor, your debt ratio is not right, and you need to pay off one of your school loans in order to qualify for this house. And I'm thinking, you done had my file for 4 months, and we 6 days away from closing. You told me I need to pay off one of my school loans. I was like, which one of them? Because I had quite a few back in the day. Wasn't no PPP loan, we gonna take away your school loan kind of situation. It was $2,500, and I was like, man. And so I realized God knew I was gonna be short. And so he had me to put some seed in the ground. Because let me tell you something, you don't qualify for a harvest until you have some seed in the ground. So long story short, was able to close on the house, and the day after closing on the house, a relative sent $20,000 to it. So based on scripture, good stewardship starts with tithe and offering. Can you agree with that? So here's an important question as I go on my last point. What happens when we learn to consistently give God's way? Here's point number three. Rain is unleashed when giving is released. Everybody say, rain is unleashed when giving is released. In other words, blessings overflow, increase, and favor happens when we give God's way. Listen to Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3. It says, if you walk in my statutes, and if you'll keep my commandments and do them, this is what God is saying. If you will do what Pastor Evan is teaching you today, watch verse 4. What's the first word in verse 4? Then when we do what he says, I will give you rain in due season. And on top of that, your land is going to yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield her fruit. So what I'm about to do is read some familiar verses to you to show you the promises of God when we give God's way. The NIV version of Malachi 3. He says, will a man rob God? He says, yet you have robbed me. You say, well, how have you robbed you? He says, in tithe and offering. Verse 9 says, you're cursed with a curse, the whole nation. And then verse 10, he says, bring the whole tithe, I like that, into the storehouse, that there's food in my house. And then he says, watch this, church, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates, there's a rain, of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. And then he says, on top of that, I will prevent the pest from devouring your crops. In other words, I will keep the devourer from your stuff. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your substance and, y'all notice that, with the first fruits of all your increase. Watch what happens. So shall your barns refill with plenty. How many like plenty? Yeah. And then it says, burst out with new wine. See, you nine wine drinkers, y'all know what new wine do? Deuteronomy 12:11. He said, then shall there be a place which the Lord shall choose to cause his name to dwell there, and you shall bring all that I command you. Watch what he says to bring. Your burnt offerings, your sacrifices. Watch this. Here we go. Your tithes. What's the next word? And the heave offering. That word heave offering is the same word offering in Malachi 3. So who is this message for? Who's the message for? This message that I just taught, it's first of all, it's for four different people. The first group of people it's for is for people who have never acted on their faith to tithe, to bring that tenth and to bring it first into God's house. The second group of people this is for people who I'm going to call inconsistent tithers. These are circumstantial tithers. These are people who will tithe as long as things are good. But when they get into a challenge, then they start backing up from that. And the problem with that is an inconsistent sowing causes inconsistent harvest. Amen. And see, inconsistent tithers are people, if you've never tithed 90 days straight without missing, you're inconsistent. Look at your neighbor and say, I think he's talking to you. Here's the third group that this message is for. It's for those, listen, who have been tithing and they're consistent in that. but they're not combining or bringing offering with it. If you look at their giving, I got some of these in my church. Tithe. What they don't realize is the prerequisite for the windows to be open is tithe offering. And then finally, here's the message for the fourth group. And this group here is interesting because it's for those who currently give the way I'm teaching. But you've gotten weary in well-doing, or you've gotten humdrum in it. In other words, it's just become, your tithe and your giving has become a bill. You know how you treat a bill like, oh, okay, yeah, I got to pay it. Yeah. And so you're currently tithing and giving offering. But your faith has dwindled, and you're giving out of tradition or habit, and so you've stopped giving by faith. See, if faith without works is dead, then works without faith have to be dead too. So you're doing the work side of it, but your faith has dwindled. You say, well, how do I know if my faith has dwindled? How does a person know that? It's when you stop expecting and confessing. You have stopped expecting God to perform his part, and your mouth, remember, how is faith released? And so your mouth has stopped confessing the promises of God when it comes to what God will do when you give. So with every head bowed, there are some people. I know the altar call has taken place, but I'm going to do a financial altar call. I believe God sent me all the way from Texas to share this message with some people, because he's ready to open some windows. He's ready to open some doors. He's ready to cause it to rain. But he can't do it until we're in position for him to do that. And there are some people in here, you fall in the most of you, if you fall in that category, then 1, 2, or 3, where you say, Pastor Evan, I'm not tithing right now. Or I'm an inconsistent tither right now. Or I'm not tithing, I'm tithing maybe, but I'm not giving offering. Well, I want to challenge you today, because we should not come to church without at least making some decisions to change our life that line up with God's word. And so there are some people here today that need to make the commitment to start tithing, bringing it first, and giving offering. And I don't know who you are, but God does. But here's what I want to do. I want to challenge you to do something. You say, well, Pastor, what is that? Because ain't nobody looking but me. There are some people, because you this kind of commitment, you can't just make silently, because if you could have made it silently, you'd be doing it by now. So that's why I'm going to partner with you. The Bible says if two of us touch and agree, it's going to happen. And so there are some people that need to make a decision to change your life today by giving God's word. If you're not tithing and you know it, or you're that inconsistent tither, and you're ready to make a decision to start today, I want you to raise your hand right there at your seat. Say, Pastor Evan, that's me. I know I need to make that decision. I know I need to do it, and I'm ready to do it, and I'm ready to see God do something. Come on, raise your hand real high. Now, I'm waiting, too, because there's more people here than that. I'm going to keep waiting. Nobody's looking but me. Keep your hands up. I'm going to wait just a few more seconds here for some people, because, see, the devil is fighting. See, right now, there's some people right now. You are warring in your mind, and what it is, it's a war between your bills and obeying God. I'm telling you, obey God. He'll take care of your bills. I'm going to wait. Now, those of you who have your hands up, keep them up now. I want you to keep them up. And I want you to look up at me at the same time. Keep them up and look up at me. I'm so proud of y'all. And I'm going to get in agreement with you, but I want you to keep your hands up. And then once I point to you, you can put your hand down. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. In the back. Thank you. I see your hand right here. I appreciate that. Keep your hands up now. Keep your hands up. Listen, if you can't make this decision in front of me, what makes you think you're going to be able to make it in front of the devil? Amen. Thank you. I see your hand. 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 Thank you, man of God. I see your hand. Thank you. 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 I see your hand. Thank you, 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 I see your hand. I'm going to wait because there's at least five more people that need to raise your hand. Everybody still bowed. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to wait. God loves you enough to wait on you. Because, see, I'm talking to somebody right now, and you are already behind in your bills. So you're trying to figure it out in your head, and I'm telling you, faith has nothing to do with your head. It has all to do with what you believe in your heart about what God says he'll do. Come on, raise your hand, raise your hand. Thank you, I see 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 your hand. Anybody else? Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, I see your hand. I appreciate that. Thank you, I see your hand back here. I appreciate that. Thank you, I see your hand. I appreciate that. Thank you, I see your hand, I appreciate that. Thank you, I see your hand, I appreciate that. Thank you, I see your hand, I appreciate that. Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Father, your word says that when the word is spoken, when it falls on good ground, it will produce 30, 60, and 100 fold. And I thank you starting today because they have made a commitment in their hearts to obey you. Some of them may not get paid until 2 weeks from now, but I hear you saying their blessing, your blessing on their life will start today because they made a commitment to do it when they get it. And I pray right now in Jesus' name that every person who raised their hands, that today will be their day that their money is born again. And I pray for increase in their life like on their pastor's life. I pray for increase in their life that's on my life. And I thank you, Lord, that their eyes have not seen, their ears have not heard, neither has it even came into their heart the great things you have in store for them. But, Lord, I thank you for putting them in the right place at the right time. I thank you for promotions being released. I thank you, Father, those who have bills in arrears that you do only what you can do. We're proving you today. You said, test me. We are testing you now. And I thank you for a multitude of testimonies coming out of today's message in days to come. Satan, you lost this one. And I command you in the name of Jesus to remove your hand and remove the curse that has been on their financial lives. And I thank you, Father, because you said you were rebuked to devour for our sake in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap if you learned something today. God bless you.